This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thank you for hanging out with the Danny Parkin Show. CBS Sports Radio, radio.com. At CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. At Danny Parkins on Twitter. Sirius 206. I mean, honestly, there's so many places you can find this show. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So, we were talking about the NFL and this idea of an 18-game schedule. In my mind, Johnny Joe Fan, the vast majority of us should want as much football as possible because football is awesome. I have a little bit more of a moral dilemma with it. More football means more injuries. More injuries means more backups. More backup means lower quality of play. Given how NFL players got screwed over last time in the CBA, the contracts aren't guaranteed. What we know about CTE and that football shortens life expectations, I think there's an ethical dilemma with more football. I think there's already an ethical dilemma with Thursday night football. So I don't love it. I don't think we need it. I think the NFL is basically perfect as is. And I mean, it's got huge problems, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about in terms of a viewing experience. 1 p.m. on the East Coast. I like the noon starts here in the Central Time Zone. I know people on the West Coast love their 10 a.m. starts. You wake up, get your fantasy lineups in, gamble, get some wings, get some pizza, drink some beers, get together with your friends, watch some football. It's the best. Saturdays for college, Sundays for the pros, Monday and Thursday if you care about the game and if it's good. Mwah, it's beautiful. Wall Street Journal's reporting the NFL wants 18 games, and they want 18 games, and if the players don't want 18 games, well, players only have to play in 16 of them. In fact, they're only allowed to play in 16 of them. So sometimes you'd get a backup quarterback. How would that happen? Would quarterbacks be able to play? Would it be announced 90 minutes before? Would you have to rule them out ahead of time? If the backup gets hurt, then could the starter go in? What would it do for gambling? What would it do for ticket sales? Would quarterbacks be allowed to play, but then you wouldn't be able to see star defensive players, star wide receivers, star running backs? Some guys would sit out early. Some guys would sit out late. It would impact fantasy. It just unintended consequences that will upset fans and not really solve any problems for the players because then they're only going to get the 16-game checks anyway. The idea that Nick Wright had, who's my buddy, who we talked about years and years ago, that I still think is brilliant, that we should do, or we should get in front of the NFL, is International Week. Take off two preseason games, so every team loses one home, one road preseason game. Players don't need it anymore. They're in better shape than ever. Take away the disadvantage of giving up a home game for some teams to play these international games and make everyone play an international game. Could be at the same time if you could figure it out the same week, or you spread it out. But you spread it out and you get games in Asia, Europe, South America, Central America, all over the world. And then you get 8 home games, 8 road games, 1 international game. You add a second bye. So you get 17 regular season games. The players get more rest. You lose preseason. And this revenue from the international games goes into the general revenue fund where teams already got $273 million apiece, or $274.3 million apiece last year. That's not including local revenue. That's just NFL revenue, TV rights, national NFL deals split up $274 million for every team. So they're already doing revenue sharing. So if the game in Mexico City had 100,000 people and the game in Quebec had 35,000 people, it doesn't matter. It's not like the teams who play in Quebec get less money. You just put all the international revenue into a fund, divvied up among the league. Owners get richer. Players play one extra game of regular season football, but play less preseason football. Fans don't lose a home game. There's no schedule inequity. You work out the travel. Boom. We've solved some problems. That's my solution. The NFL has its idea. Now let's hear yours. 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. We will start with someone who just dislikes my idea in Jersey. Alex, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. What up, Alex?
Hey, Danny. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. The problem, I think, with the 18-game or even a 17-game schedule, where's that other opponent coming from? But, again, with your idea about the international, I mean, it's good, but I think it all has to be overseas because, I mean, you think about it. I mean, how many times did the – I know you're in Chicago. I mean, how many times did the Blackhawks play in Chicago and then next game they play the Maple Leafs in Toronto? Literally the next day.
Wait, but I don't understand. I mean, but why are we talking hockey compared to the NFL? And what do you mean, where would the game come from? Like, the NFL schedule is really easy right now, right? The NFL schedule is you play every team in your division twice. That's six games. Then you've got a division in the NFC that you play and a division in the AFC that you play. And that's four and four, so that's eight. That's 14 games. And then if you finished in second place, you play the other two teams that finished second place in your division. So you could just say you play a second place team in another AFC division, right? So if you mentioned the Bears, so if the Bears are playing this year, the NFC North plays the AFC West. The Bears finished in first place in the NFC North, so. This year, the Bears could play a first-place team from the AFC East in an international game. So, Bears-Patriots in Madrid is the international game this year if we did the schedule my way.
Okay, that's actually a very good solution. Because, like I said, I'm a diehard Steelers fan. I actually went to go – one of my dreams in life was to go see the Steelers at Soldier Field. And 2021, I'm going to go see him in Lambeau. But like I said, I mean, if that game gets moved to London, I have to wait another 8 years, which is what I was concerned about, even with these international games. But I think your idea is a good one. But like I said, I mean, it's a huge difference from Beijing to Toronto. I mean,
yeah, well, absolutely. And Alex, I appreciate the call. So Toronto would obviously be an easier one. Beijing would be a tougher one. You're adding a second bye week, right? And you would do it on the back end of your international game, especially if there was more travel, right? So, yes, I'm not saying the schedule would be totally equal every year, but it isn't totally equal right now every year. Some teams are playing only seven home games. Teams like the Jaguars or the Bills, who have been losing home games for years, sometimes they'll play six home games. But you can get in a situation where that's going to happen. So I'm not saying the travel will be totally equal, but right now the Seahawks travel further distances than the Browns do anyway just because of geography. So, yes, flight miles will not be perfectly equal. We're in agreement there. But if you want to watch the Steelers play the Packers at Lambeau, you're not giving that up on the schedule. The idea is you're adding a game. So everything with the schedule stays the same. So you're a Steelers fan. You still play the Browns twice a year. You still play the Ravens twice a year. You play all your division team twice a year. You still play the teams that finished in the same spot as you in your conference. You still then rotate the divisions. Right? Everyone knows how the NFL schedule works, right? The NFL schedule is really easy to figure out who your opponents are. It's just tough when they make the schedule in terms of the order and working it all out in terms of fairness and home, road, and bye and all of that. But it's easy. There's four teams in eight divisions. We don't need to go over this. You guys know how it works. Six of the games are against your division. four games against another division in your conference, four games against another division outside of your conference, and then two games against the team that finished in the same spot as you in the standings. So when people say, oh, we've got a first-place schedule this year, that only affects two games. Oh, we've got a last-place schedule this year. That only affects two games. There's only two games every year that are variables in an NFL schedule. With International Week, we'd be adding a third. And how I would do it is you would say you'd play a team that finished in the same place as you from the other conference in a division you weren't already playing. So to use the Bears example, since I'm here in Chicago, like I said, the NFC North plays the AFC West this year. So the Bears would have to play a first place team from another AFC conference next year. That's how I would do the schedule. 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. James in Baltimore is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, James?
Hey, what's up, Danny? Yeah, so I'm in favor with you. 17-18-game schedule. I'd actually say two preseason games, like you said, but I'd give the teams two bye weeks if we're going to 18-game schedule. That's kind of how they do it in NCAA. Most of those teams got two bye weeks all season, like, keeps players fresher. I mean, concussions are an issue, but, I mean, it make more revenue. But give the teams two bye weeks, it would help. Also, with the Thursday night football games, the teams playing Thursday night games should have a bye week the week before, so they're well-rested and ready. I know a lot of these guys complain about Thursday night games, but it's understandable because, I mean, they're playing on 4 days rest. I mean, but still – yeah, I agree. I think go to 17 or 18 game schedule, two preseason games. Four preseason games is so pointless. I mean, it's just dumb at this point.
Yeah, the four preseason games is tough. The problem with the Thursday idea, and I appreciate the call for the bye, is there's too many. Like, every team has to play a Thursday game, at least one Thursday game. So you can't have a bye every week with how it works right now in the schedule, because you can't have a bye week one. There's a Thursday game. Now, obviously, you didn't play a game the Sunday before, just to use that as an example. But byes don't start until, what, week four? There's Thursday games week two, Thursday games week three. Can't have a bye week 17, week 16. There's Thursday games. So that's why Thursday Night Football is so unfair. You can't just put a bye before everyone. Now, if you added a second bye to the schedule, you could. But the owners aren't going to add a second bye to the schedule if they're not getting an extra week or weeks of revenue, which is why I think it's a nice compromise. Add a bye, shorten the preseason, add an international game. Now, the owners would probably say my idea is too beneficial for the players, to which I would say, good. They deserve something. They deserve a win. And you, being the owners, yeah, you don't get an extra home game, but you get to start selling Patriots gear in Mexico City. Your league becomes internationally popular, more so than it already is, but that's what you've been trying to do. Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, is the chairman of the International Committee. Start selling Chiefs gear in London, Paris, wherever. Pat Mahomes could be a pretty big star. If the Chiefs played an international game every year for the next decade, my guess is Pat Mahomes would do pretty well internationally. Ask NBA players about their marketability internationally. The big stars that have the shoe deals, the NBA season ends, they go on vacation with their family, and they usually go to Asia. Steph Curry just got back from Asia with his Under Armour deal. Derrick Rose does it every year with Adidas. LeBron does it. KD does it with Nike. Giannis is launching his shoe. Like, you can grow your superstardom internationally and make a ton of money. So the teams could do the same thing. So I think it'd be a win-win. We'll hear more of your ideas on the 18-game schedule coming up. Darwin Zook has an update in about 15 minutes or so. And honestly, one of the coolest, most statistically unlikely things I've ever heard of in sports happened to one of my best friends. And we're going to talk about it in 40 minutes and get some stories from you coming up. But more on the 18-game schedule and how we're going to save the NFL from itself. This is the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
It is the Danny Parkin Show. This is CBS Sports Radio, where our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The NFL seems destined to want to go to an 18-game schedule. Their proposal, according to the Wall Street Journal, is truly awful. 18-game schedule, but a 16-game limit per player. Presumably, there would be exemptions for kickers and punters and long snappers, but what about quarterbacks? Maybe there would be for quarterbacks, but not star players. Would they have to be ruled out 90 minutes before the game? Would it be announced beforehand? If the guy who was playing in place of them got hurt, could then they go back in? How would that impact gambling, fantasy, ticket sales? It's a truly awful idea. My idea is compromise. Cut the preseason from 4 to 2. Add an international game for every team. 8 home, 8 road, 1 neutral, 2 byes. Split the money equally amongst the teams from the international games. Grow your brand internationally. Make the owners richer. Players only have to play 1 extra regular season game instead of 2. They get an extra bye to rest and recover, and they play less in the preseason. Everybody's a winner. We get more football. The owners get richer. The players get some more money, but more rest, and fans around the world can see the great game of American football. That's my idea. We're taking calls on what yours is, given that schedule change seems inevitable in the NFL. How would you do it if you were in charge of expanding the National Football League? 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. Let's go to Vancouver, Washington, and welcome Tony to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
Hi, Danny. Hi, Danny. One thing, the preseason is not for fans, okay? And it's really not for established veterans. The preseason is for undrafted free agents and draftees. Half the league fall into this category, guys who made it during the preseason. That's how teams are built. They evaluate their players, and they get film on players from other teams.
Yep.
The preseason isn't for the veterans, and it's not for the fans. It's for the team, and you can stretch the season out a week by giving them an extra bye. I can go with that. More games, no, but preseason is vital to these programs. That's what I think, Danny. What do you think?
Well, listen, I think it would be a little tougher for an undrafted free agent to make the team if he can't ball out in preseason. I think it'll be a little tougher for a general manager to self-scout and to cut down his roster to 53 players without 4 preseason games. But to me, that's an acceptable cost. Like that to me is an acceptable cost if we're going to expand the regular season. Like this whole conversation we're having is based on the premise that expansion of the season is inevitable. So then I'm thinking, how do you make up for that, given what we know about the health risks that football presents to players? Like, you say the preseason's not for the established players, but they still play in it. They still get hurt. Maybe not much, but a couple series here, a couple quarters here, 2-3 quarters by most coaches in the 3rd preseason game, which I think is idiotic. We'll do that show coming up in 6 weeks or so, I'm sure. Like, that's what my compromise would be. Would some players be hurt by that? Absolutely. That's unfortunate. Hopefully they catch on elsewhere. But they still have minicamp. They still have OTAs. They still have training camp. Still plenty of places where they can play and perform and make it onto the field. Not to mention, we're not talking about eliminating the preseason. We're talking about cutting down the preseason. But yeah, there would be costs to eliminating the preseason. I just think, on the whole, it would be better for the game. 855-212-4CBS is the number. Dave in Cleveland is on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Dave.
How's it going? First-time caller, long-time listener, man.
Thank you.
Anyway,
hey, can you turn down your radio, please, so I stop echoing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually didn't even have my radio on.
Oh, you sound better now. Thanks.
All right. But anyways, I actually think we should keep it basically the same games that we have. Eliminate one preseason game, put the Pro Bowl in the middle, and put a bye on each end of the Pro Bowl, and then make the Pro Bowl more relevant. They wanted to do that for how many years? So you get your 17th game, basically.
Oh, well, no. That listen, I like the creativity, but it's not a 17th game because not everybody's in the Pro Bowl. So for the vast majority of the league, they'd be out. And if you suffer an injury in the Pro Bowl now, it sucks, but at least you have the whole offseason to recover. If you suffer an injury in the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season, that's devastating for a team in playoff contention and a player trying to hit performance bonuses and all of that. Like, I don't think anybody would play in the Pro Bowl if it was in the middle of the season.
Field advantage for the Super Bowl.
If you made the Pro Bowl, home field advantage for the Super Bowl?
Yep.
But there is no home field advantage. The Super Bowl is at a neutral site.
You know, it would be an AFC stadium or an NFC stadium. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, like, you're in Cleveland. Let's say the Browns make it to the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl this year is in where's the Super Bowl this year? Miami? Yeah, Super Bowl's in Miami. So that's an AFC stadium. There's no advantage for the Browns being in an AFC stadium.
That's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, unless you made it to where the person that won the Super Bowl, that's where the Super Bowl plays.
Well, but that'll never happen. I appreciate the call, Dave, but no, that'll never happen because to pull off a Super Bowl, you need more than a week or 2 weeks of lag time logistically to get it. It's too much of a corporate event. I've never been to a Super Bowl as a fan. I've never been to a Super Bowl as a member of the media. But I've been to a Super Bowl as a member of the media during the week of the Super Bowl. And that is an undertaking. You don't want home games for the Super Bowl. I get what you're saying conceptually. The other sports have the All-Star game in the middle of the season. Why wouldn't football's All-Star game be in the middle of the season? Football's not like the other sports. It is much more dangerous. There are many more risks of injury. That's not the way to change up the schedule. Love the outside-the-box thinking. You know I encourage that on this show, especially if you're a longtime listener, like you said. Let's come back inside the box just a little bit. That was way outside the box. I like it. Let's come back a little bit inside the box. More of your ideas on how to fix the NFL scheduling, given that it seems like change is inevitable.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thanks for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show. We're discussing the inevitability, it seems, of the NFL adding to its schedule. Wall Street Journal reporting the NFL wants 18 games. They're proposing it with a 16-game limit per player. That is a jump to conclusions, Matt, in Office Space. Truly horrible idea. One of the worst ideas I've ever heard. You're not making $1 million off that idea, even with a pet rock. My idea is 2 games in the preseason, 17 in the regular season, 8 home, 8 road, 1 international. Add a second bye week. League grows, players play less in the regular season in terms of they get an extra week of rest in the regular season. They get more rest in the preseason, but the league makes more money by growing their game internationally and gets revenue from an extra game there. But they don't get an extra home game, which is what the owners want. Some of you guys coming in with some fairly good suggestions on Twitter at Danny Parkins. RavenZombie81 tweets in. Shout out to the handle, by the way. 16 international sites seems like a lot, Danny. How about 8? Every other year you play either an international or every other year you play somewhere in the U.S. that doesn't have a team, like Montana, San Antonio, Nebraska, etc. I don't hate that idea, but also you don't have to. I keep calling it international week just because that's like what you could call it for your teams. It doesn't have to be week 7 is international week where everybody's abroad and you have 16 sites. Like right now, there's 3 games a year in London. You don't have to have 16 different spots for international games. You could have multiple teams play in London, multiple teams play in Mexico City as you continue to build out and find more sites. But I do like the idea of playing places in the U.S. or maybe even North America if you want to include Canada, make it easier on the travel where they don't have teams. I think it'd be cool to play in big-time college stadiums, especially in places where there's not – where we know that they love football, but they don't have an NFL team. So Nebraska's a good example. Oklahoma would be a good example. Things like that. I think that would actually be a good idea. And then you could play in historic college stadiums too. Or you play an NFL game at Notre Dame, right? You could do things like that to grow the brand, kind of like hockey has done with the Winter Classic. Chris Hand tweets in, Danny, instead of an 18-game schedule, how about expansion? You get four new teams, so you get multi-billions of dollars of revenue and expansion fees. 16 games times 18 weeks is 288 games. So 18 games by 16 weeks is 288 games. Basically saying you expand the league by four teams, you don't need to expand the schedule. Problem with that is the league wants both. You're divide, right? So, like, so right now, just to use an example, let's say ESPN spends $1 billion a year on Monday Night Football. If the Packers play on Monday Night Football three times and the Bills play on it zero times, the Packers don't get more of that money from Monday Night Football than the Bills do. That money is divided up equally among the 32 teams as a part of the national television deals, right? The NFL takes money from CBS, from Fox, from NBC, and from Disney for ESPN and Monday Night Football. And that money is split up evenly. So if you expanded to 36 teams from 32, instead of getting 1/32nd of that billion from ESPN, you'd get 1/36th. So even though there'd be more teams generating more money, the television deals would be split up into more slices of the pie. You know the line from Wall Street, greed is good. You don't get to become a billionaire by being altruistic generally, right? There are examples of it, obviously, but generally speaking, these guys are greedy. They want more money and then other ways to make more money. And they want to share it with fewer people. Generally how it works. 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. Anthony in Michigan has been holding patiently. Anthony, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Danny. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. You stole my word. Greed. That's what this is all about from the owners and the ideas that you have and the ideas that Nate Wright had are on the money. But because you're basing your ideas from logic, that's the reason why they won't listen. Their ideas are based off greed. And so that, therefore, they're going to do whatever it is they want to do that makes them more money. This is a group that has no hesitation with sending out replacement players, that doesn't have any hesitation with sending out replacement refs. If it hadn't been for the fact that that egregious game was on a Monday night, I guarantee you they never would have buckled in when it came to the refs. They still would have used replacement refs. It just would have been a low light for whatever sports channels showed it. So with everything that goes on, the NFL has the weakest players union I can imagine. And so the players are nothing more than equipment with heartbeats. And so whatever the owners want, the owners get, no matter what the logic you present. That's why I wouldn't even consider anything other than what you have presented, because it makes too much sense. Thank you.
Well, listen, Anthony, good call, man, and I appreciate the kind words, and that was well thought out on a number of levels. I always push back with the idea that the NFL Players Union is weak. The NFL Players Union has the toughest job of any of the unions because they don't have guaranteed contracts, the earning potential, and your earning years are shorter, right? Average NFL career, if you even make it, less than three seasons. NBA and Major League Baseball, if you make it, you can play for a decade. You can play for 15 years. It's much harder to do that in the NFL. You've got to be the best of the best, and you've got to get lucky with health. And your contract still isn't guaranteed. So you can get multiple paydays if you're in baseball. You can get multiple paydays in the NFL. Very few players get multiple true generational wealth contracts in the NFL, especially non-quarterbacks. So that's why the players' union in the NFL has a harder time getting some of these big wins. And to your point, the NFL has shown a more ruthless approach to, hey, you're out here, you're rooting for the Vikings, you're rooting for the Jets, you're rooting for the Bucks. You're not necessarily rooting for Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold or Jameis Winston. That's what the NFL has been built on, that you're rooting for the laundry over the players, and that, yeah, if all of the NFL players decided to strike and the NFL said, cool, we're playing with replacement players, ratings would go down, attendance would go down, revenue would go down, but it wouldn't be zero. And the billionaire owners can outlast the millionaire players, and eventually the millionaire players will walk back across that picket line. That's how it works. Because in that league and in that sport, you can't afford to sit out that long. I mean, Le'Veon Bell did it, and it dominated conversation for a year, and he probably cost himself money. We'll talk about Melvin Gordon a little bit later on in the show, and last but not least, coming up in an hour. We'll see. Is he going to sit out a year of his prime? Maybe. He's just trying to make a demand to get paid, though. So it's easy to throw around the NFL Players Union is weak. Just know that they've got the toughest job by far of any of the pro sports unions. 855-212-4CBS is the number. JC in Oregon, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What up, JC? JC.
Hey, what's going on? Great show. A couple things nobody's brought up yet. One is, what would we do with the records? Obviously, the records are going to be broken at a higher pace than they have before. So we haven't really talked about that at all. And also want to bring up, let's just say the players aren't going to want to play more games for less money. So let's say the worst thing happens. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt game 18 of a season, of a game that he should have been playing in the first place. Can they put something in his contract saying, hey, if you happen to get hurt in these extra two games that we have, because why would, if Aaron Rodgers is getting paid, let's say, $5 million per game or whatever he is, why would you want to play two more games and get paid the same? No player would do that. So I think there has to be something in those contracts, because if Brady gets hurt in the 17th game, you would never hear it from those Patriots fans. You know, it would be, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, collusion or whatever, you know. So I think we would have to do something on that point, because I don't think the players would want to ever agree with that. Just wanted to say your take on that.
JC, good call. I'll address both points. I'll address the second point first. This is something that's going to be collectively bargained, so the players will work it in terms of the percentage of the revenue. So let's say right now, just to make the math work, let's say the players got 50% of the revenue generated in the NFL. If that's with 16 games. If it expanded to 17 or 18, they could get 15% of that. That's not how it works, but it will be proportionally expanded from whatever they're getting now to extrapolating it out, right? The salary cap will go up to reflect the revenue that they get, and players that are under existing contracts, my guess is they will figure out something to say, all right, I don't even know what the math is. Like 16, you're adding an eighth. So an eighth is probably, what is that? Is that just like 12%? It's like 12.5%. So in theory, it'd be a 12.5% raise. So they'll work out the financials, because this is going to be collectively bargained with the union. So they're not going to just say players making $10 million on a 16-game schedule. Now you got an 18-game schedule. You're still making $10 million. That's not how it's going to work. It's going to be collectively bargained. As for the record books, frankly, football doesn't give a damn. The only sport that really does is baseball. Used to have a 12-game season. Then they had a 14-game season. Now they got a 16-game season. Eventually, it sounds like we're going to get an 18-game season. Football doesn't care. Back when Eric Dickerson was playing, or Jim Brown was playing, they don't care. We've seen it with the rules for the passing game. We've seen it with the expansion of the schedule. We've seen it with technology in the game. We've seen it in so many different areas. Like, just how are the rules for passing? Now you don't even really need to run the ball. Right? Todd Gurley averaged 19 carries a game, 19 and a half, something like that. That was the most in the NFL. The idea of a guy getting 400 plus carries in a season is archaic. I don't know if it'll happen again. Certainly not for a long, long time. So the game's just changed. The only sport that really cares about its records in that way is baseball. Because even the NBA, you know, some guys had to go to college for years and years, and it wasn't how it was now. So guys get to start their career earlier. So everyone knows Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the all-time points leader in the NBA. You don't know how many points he has. Right? It's not the same thing as Maris's 61. Right? It's just different. Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, you can rattle off their numbers. Baseball cares about that sort of thing. Football and basketball, hockey, it's not how the game is played. I know a lot of you have wanted to weigh in on this, and I appreciate the creativity that so many of you are offering. It's a weird thing because most people seem to not want that to happen. My guy Jeff on Twitter just linked to me a Pro Football Talk tweet where Florio said that more than 44,000 people voted. 62% prefer not to expand the regular season. That's surprising to me. Because I assume just by, you know, being a consumer of news and a person who interacts with humans, that most people are fairly selfish. And more football is a good thing. I am in the 62% that think we don't need to expand the regular season. But if expansion is inevitable, I want to do it in the way that's best for the players that can. I don't really care about Jerry Jones having more money, but this feels fair and interesting. 17 games, 8 home, 8 road, 1 international, shorten the preseason. That seems like a nice compromise instead of just going to 18 straight games. You don't need all that greed. Coming up next, one of the coolest stories I've ever been tangentially related to. It has to do with sports. It's story time, mine and yours, coming up. Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.